snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. So it's good to remember that as we apply God's word, we let God's word read us rather than just reading God's word. It will bring many benefits to our life. It will point us in the right direction. So I encourage you, be people of the word. Make it a
shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way.
pause for a moment. Jamie, you wanted to share something? You want to encourage the body?
Glad to be here today. Not everyone's here today, right? So every Sunday, some people are missing. It's summertime. People travel away. There's a few of us here, right? How important are you? You're very important. So, if I could get over this crying thing, I could actually share something one time. But I had knee surgery, so I'm recovering. I can't do much. This is my busy time of the year. I'm a bike rider. I'm very active, but I can't do anything. So, we're doing these jigsaw puzzles. Jigsaw puzzles, very interesting. Every piece is important, right? If you miss one piece, okay, it's ruined. Totally ruined. So, you are that piece. You're the piece that's missing. See, what we don't understand is you're that important piece that's missing. We're not all here today. So, the joy of God is the body of Christ. It's His people. So, when you're missing, there's something missing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't take one piece and put it in another place. It does not work that way. You are the only piece that goes in that puzzle. So, you might have been told that you're not important. That is a lie. You are that piece today that God needs today for right here, right now. Now, next week, there might be some different people here. But God is the puzzle master. He moves the pieces around. And when you're in the next place, you are that piece that has been missing from that place. You fit perfectly, and you are irreplaceable. There's no other piece like you. You fit perfect. That's all it is.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love, righteousness.
this is a solid rock I stand on, right? When have you ever stopped and thought about the orchestration that God has done? This morning I received a call from my son at probably about 6:30 in the morning. He was in the emergency room in Port Clinton. And I was up there for 10 days doing Don't Give Up the Arts, and he had a reaction in a restaurant. We were there, but the problem is when you're on an island, there's not medical care. So to sort of go back behind, he, of course, texted me this morning rather than last night when he was having a crisis. Basically, what happened is he, as he says, he bit off more than he could chew and got a piece of meat stuck in his esophagus and could not dislodge it. He had a brand new roommate. The roommate drove him to the EMS, who said, "We can't do anything. We can life flight you, or you can get on the boat and go over to the hospital." So the new roommate got him on the boat, and he then got a taxi. The roommate did not go on the boat with him, brand new roommate, which I'm sure, God bless this kid. But anyways, here's how God orchestrates. Guess who happened to be on the boat? Surgical assistant, the assistant to the surgeon. So get him. So he takes a taxi. He doesn't have any cash. The couple that's sharing the taxi with him pays for his thing to drop him off at the hospital. And this is all going down. And, of course, he's, like, just trying to keep himself together. Always train your kids to function in an emergency. I'm serious. It's so helpful. So, but anyway, so he gets in there, and they're like, "There's nothing we can do. We're going to prep you for surgery, etc." And so they gave him, you know, one medication to increase his saliva and hope to dislodge it and things like that. So all the way through this, he can still breathe. But can you imagine to hold your stuff together for that long? So anyways, he sent me a picture of him all prepped for surgery. That's when it decided to dislodge. The kid was not going to, he was like, "Oh my gosh, I was thinking life flight. I know how much that costs. Oh my gosh, I was thinking surgery. Oh, I know how much that costs." And then this morning he calls me when he's walking to the ferry from the hospital and waiting for the boat to open. But look at how God orchestrated to preserve him. And we even went through, we had the little practice run where he had a reaction like, "What do you do if there's no medical care on the island?" Now, a lot of you remember my son when he was very tiny. He was the quickest kid in the world. He was near that pond all the time, just like lightning. Now he's 6'3", and has actually been in charge of the national park on, like, every Tuesday. So this guy can handle himself. But still, when we can't handle it, and when we have loved ones that can't handle it, God has already got the orchestration. So now he's home. He's off work today, eating soft foods. But his poor, and then the number one in command is gone, and his whole family had a crisis where his son had an emergency appendectomy. So, I mean, it's just like, off you go. But I ended up, his wife, Caleb's big boss, his wife and I have become friends, she texted me like, "I need your prayers." And this is how God orchestrates. How does he orchestrate your life? Stop and just take those moments to look at what he does to cover all of this. It just is amazing to see.
Well, we're doing the Lord's table. Call it communion, some call it Eucharist. It's got lots of names, doesn't it? What is this all about? What is this all about? Remembering, I heard someone say it. Jesus said, do this in what? Remembrance of me. So he said, this is important enough that I'm going to make it a command that you do this in remembrance of me. We have a tendency to forget the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. I remember I was at a camp a while back when I was in college, and one of the songs the guy did, I think it never got published, but he said, the main thing in life is keeping the main thing the main thing. I'm not going to burn you with my singing it this morning, but that's a good phrase. Main thing in life is keeping the main thing the main thing. So Jesus said, this is the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Do this in remembrance of me. So what is this? So he said to his disciples on that last night he was alive, he said, this bread is my body. It's broken for you. And you remember a few months back when Robin and several others made the curtain up here for Easter, the curtain that was torn. So think about that. Jesus is saying, this is my body which is broken for you. The curtain was torn that gave access to the Holy of Holies. So he's like, I'm being broken for you. So you have access to God the Father all the time. You know, before as a high priest, only once a year, a bunch of hubbub to get in there. You get access because of his body broken for you. And he said, this is my blood which is poured out for you. So if you know anything about sacrifice and all that in the Old Testament, they had to pick a perfect lamb. The person had to kill it. I don't know if you've had to kill anything ever. That's not fun. You had to slit this lamb's throat. Blood was poured out. It's kind of gory for their sin. And so this is a new covenant in my blood. So I'm giving up my blood in your place. I'm paying the penalty for your sin. Keep these things in mind. He's like, I'm providing access to God. I'm paying for all your sin. My righteousness is covering you. So that's what we're remembering today. It's not how righteous you are. It's not how good you are. You're depending on his righteousness for your salvation. You're depending on him bringing you to God, not all your good works. So let's do this in remembrance of him. Let's take a moment just to pray. Paul says in Corinthians to examine ourselves before we come and remember Christ. So if there's anything in your life that's not right, this is a great time to confess and repent, because you know he has torn the curtain. He has given his blood for that thing that's standing between you and God. So take that to the cross. Just take a moment. If there's anything the Lord's bringing to mind, Lord, search us, know our hearts. Test us in our thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in us and lead us out of that. Just take a moment and do business with God. Lord, we thank you that you forgive us. Through the blood shed on the cross, I think it first John 1:9 says that we confess our sins. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So we claim that promise now. We have accepted you as our Lord and Savior. We can know for certain that you are doing that in our lives. Amen. Well, the way we do communion here is people come up row by row, and you'll take, we have gluten-free here if you need that. We have regular bread here, and then take a cup, and then you can go back to your seat. You can partake with those around you. We don't wait till everyone's taken, so you can do it in your time and in your prayer time. And we ask those that are going to be on the prayer team to come up first. We'll have them in the back. If you would like prayer for anything, you can get that. And you might say, well, how do I know if I can partake of communion? Well, if you publicly declared your faith before others in baptism or in any other way that you've said, I am a Christian, you're welcome at the Lord's table. So that's how you know. You don't have to be a member here at Grace Fellowship, but just a part of God's family in heaven. So the table of the Lord is open. I would ask those that are on the prayer team to come first, and then those that would like to come after that. So the table of the Lord is open.
Are you hurting and broken?
sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is
where you are. Lord, I am free, and holiness is Christ in me. Lord, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
When I cannot stand,
and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Those that are going to take the offering to come up. We have these rectangular boxes for the communion cups and the round ones for offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You've given us so much, and we give back now a portion with glad and joyous hearts. May you use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask the kids that are fifth grade and below to come up. We're going to pray for you as you go to Sunday school. Good job, Miro. You're just zipping up here. That's awesome. And she's going to stay good. All right. Let's extend our hands just to pray for these young people. Lord, we pray for our children that they might know you, not just about you. May they have you be their Savior and Lord. May you teach them about your word today and help them to grow in Christlikeness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got some birthdays. This is a big week, I guess, for birthdays and anniversaries. Ian Barnes is going to turn 1 year older on the 29th, so happy birthday, Ian. On the 1st, how old is he? I don't know. He can tell you later. Janine Schwartz on the 1st of July is having a birthday, so happy birthday, Janine. And Steve Phillips on the 2nd, so Steve, happy birthday, sir. We got some anniversaries. Jimmy and Robin Barnes on the 1st have an anniversary, so congrats to you guys. And you share your anniversary with Dan and Karen Gates. And with Mitch and Janine Schwartz. So did you plan that, Mitch, on Janine's birthday? You had your wedding. Look at you. Wow. You can't forget either. That's awesome, man. So a bunch of people got married on the 1st of July. So congratulations to you. I'd like Heather to come up. We have DTS donations that are due today, but there's a few remaining. So she's going to come up and just auction those off, I guess, in some way or form. No.
First of all, we have a couple campers that need bedding. So if you have any extra
it's a DTS, you may say, what is DTS? It's called Discipleship Training School. It's a camp. We do two camps. We do one for kids and one for teens. And next, the week after the 4th of July will be the kids camp, and the week after that will be the teen camp. And if you would like to pray for a camper, I think that's real important. Pray for a camper and maybe send them a note or letter during that week. Judy will be the person to talk to. So if you'd like to pray for a camper, just talk to Judy here. Yes. Okay, so please bring those back by next Sunday. If you feel like dropping it off during the week, we usually have someone here on Wednesday or Thursday. You can drop it in here. Just ring the doorbell or give us a call. So, save the date. We're going to have a Grace Fellowship Family Camp weekend, August 7th through 9th. You can camp here in the campground. A lot of people like to do that. If you have a camper, we can make arrangements to get that down there and plug it in. Also, there's just a great opportunity. If you're not a camper, you could stay up in the building up here. We'll have some bunks possibly, or you can throw down a mattress. Or if you just want to come by during the day, I find it some of the greatest times sitting around the campfire chatting with folks. Just having nowhere particular to go, and you're hanging out. That's a great time to build relationship. You know, so many of us are busy, busy, busy. It's nice not to be busy. Just to get to know folks and hang out. So be sure to save that date. Holly, if you come up, Holly's going to share about the women's luncheon that's going to come up.
Hello, beautiful ladies. Hi. So July 25th, put on your calendar, 1 o'clock at Bob Evans here on Hanley Road. Let's get together. Let's fellowship. Let's encourage each other. Let's pour into each other. Okay? Let me know a couple days before that so I can let Bob Evans know that there's a large crowd coming and we're going to take over the restaurant. Okay? I also actually wanted to share something as well. Eric had brought up about tough weeks, and I think a few of us here have had that this week. But what God brought to mind this week is, how thankful are we that we have Jesus, that we can lean on him, that he's our rock. And I was doing a worship devotional, and it was on blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of salvation, bought in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day.
Has anyone ever asked you the question, if your house was on fire, what one thing would you grab as you ran out? Have you ever had that question asked of you? Have you ever thought about that? What's the one thing I would grab? What are some thoughts on that? What's the one thing you would grab? What is it?
Family.
That's a good thing, right? Maybe the pet. If the family's not going out, grabbing them, pulling them out. Anything else besides family and the pet? Car keys? I guess that's good. Yes, Tom? Glasses? Good to be able to see. What? Bible? Okay. You want all your notes that you copiously took? Yes. Cell phone might be good to be able to call people for help. Family photos. Those are hard to replace. Yeah, maybe some shoes. It's always nice to have shoes if you're running out. If it's cold winter, or a pair of pants would be good. If you're like Judea and you don't sleep in your pants. TMI, right? TMI. Another telling question is, or a statement, if you said this, if I had blank, then everything was worth it. If I had this or that, I would have arrived. What might one say? Now, we're in church, and you might say, well, the good answer is Jesus. I had Jesus. And many of you would say
by how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your resources, where your passion is. And we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking today about treasure. And when you think of treasure, a lot of us think of like Spanish galleons that are sunk in the Caribbean, and they go down, they find these gold coins, or Pirates of the Caribbean, and some cursed treasure, or whatever. But if you think of treasure, like Indiana Jones looking for treasure. But Jesus says, you know, where your heart is where your treasure is. So where you spend your money, where you spend your time, where you spend your passion, your resources, indicates where your treasure is. So we may know the right answer, Jesus, but is he really our treasure? So we're looking at Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and it speaks about treasure and how to approach it. And a good way to summarize this passage is make Jesus your treasure. Make Jesus your treasure. So I'm going to ask Cameron Carger to come up and read for us. I was joking with him. He always gets like the hard readings, but he got a pass today. This one's not real hard, so Cameron. As we unpack this passage of what Jesus has to say about treasure, Jesus being our treasure, we see first that Jesus is permanent, he's secure, and finally, he's real treasure. So let's unpack this treasure. First, make Jesus your treasure because he's permanent. Well, I was talking with Jimmy and Robin and some of the relatives here, Wendy and Steve, and you guys have been going through all of Dad's stuff this week. There was a storage unit. There was a house. How was that? Was that a lot of work? Right? And, you know, my parents, they moved out of their house some years ago that they had been 45 years in. I remember us going through that. That was a chore. It was a chore. A lot of things that we keep may be treasures, but do those things always hold their value? No. Some do. Occasionally I find that vinyl that's worth a lot, but most of them are either worth just a tiny bit more or quite a bit less. Yeah. So, you know, we find that, you know, moth and rust corrupts. Jesus says this. He says here, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Things wear out. Mildew gets in there. Water damage. Anybody had a basement flood? Mold. You know, if we think about treasures in this time, you know, people valued clothes in Jesus' times. You think of, you know, that they didn't have, you know, I was just thinking, I had a cotton shirt on last night. I was like, you know, we get these things for a buck. But think about how much work goes into, you know, to harvest this cotton, to weave it, all this stuff. You think about back before all the industrial age, like clothing was a big deal. Could have been a treasure. They held it. And, you know, you all know how clothing is. If it gets moth, anyone had a moth get into your closet? What happened? Holes. Yeah, they're very determined. So, you know, the treasure people often lay up isn't just gold and silver, but, you know, gold and silver can corrupt, or some of the precious metals can get tarnished. Anyone had to polish silver ever? That's always fun. Cars. Do cars last? Unless they're a classic. Like, I think, Elena, you had that Mustang. That you kind of wish you still had the Mustang. But most cars lose value. Most cars lose value. Most stuff loses value. You know, those of you that bought houses prior to the 08 crash, scared after that because your house lost half its value overnight. You know, things do not last. Money degrades with time. Did you know if you put a bunch of money under your mattress, every year it loses about 2.5% its value because of inflation? Some years, like recently, 8%. You know, inflation's ridiculous. You go out to eat today, and what you used to be able to get for like $7 or $8 is now $15 to $20. Right? So we see money loses value. Things degrade over time. Is Jesus saying money is evil here? No, no. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. It makes a horrible god. It's a good tool. So, but he's saying we want to invest in treasure that will last, not in treasure that doesn't last. You know, in the final years of the Confederacy, you know, during the Civil War, the Confederacy had printed money. And what happened to that money after the Confederacy fell? It was worthless. So if you had a whole wheelbarrow of Confederate money, all it was good for is maybe to start a fire. You know, so when you and I make our treasure in money, it's a real bad place. It's not a permanent place. It's not going to last. You know, in the same way, we cannot take the world's treasures with us. You know, you see the Egyptian pharaohs, they tried to stack all their treasures in their tomb. Where are those treasures now? Are they with them in eternity? No, they're stolen, stacked, still buried somewhere. Can't take it with you. Money is a tool. It's meant to be used for eternal things, things that last. So if we treasure Jesus and what he values, we will have permanent treasure because it will be treasure in heaven. So I want to elicit some responses from you. What are some things that are going to last forever? Twinkies? It will last a long time. Love eating cheese. Spam, yes. Well, they'll last a long time. I don't think they'll last millennia. What's things that are going to last forever? Seriously, what are things? Kindness. What was that? I couldn't hear. People are talking quietly. Spirits. People. Look at the person next to you. I want you to tell them, you're going to last forever. And you may say, if that's in my current state, I'm a little nervous. Because I'm getting older too. I'm not quite as old as some of you here, but parts start not working right. But yeah, like we say, our spirit and you know, people are going to last forever. Like Jesus said, things done to bless others is going to last forever. So, are we investing in each other? You know, are we, as Jimmy said, do you realize that you're an essential piece? The actions you do today can have eternal consequences in others' lives. You can bless them or curse them yesterday. Yeah, God's word lasts forever. You know, it says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love's going to endure. Things you did for others out of love are going to last forever. So things you did for God, your relationship with God is going to last forever. So are you and I investing in these things that are going to last forever? Are you using your time, your money, your resources to bless others in ways that will last forever? Think about it. If someone knows and has made Jesus their Lord and Savior, that's a forever decision. It's going to affect their eternal destiny. So when you are investing in seeing others know the Lord, that is going to last forever. So we looked at how Jesus is permanent. We also need to see that make Jesus your treasure because he's secure. Has anyone ever been robbed? Some here. Hopefully it wasn't by gunpoint or getting mugged. I remember I had some friends over here off Hanley. They found someone came into their house while they were all asleep on the first floor, took some iPads and whatever. That kind of is unsettling. You know, someone was in your house. think our stuff's safe in banks, but not always. Disasters can happen that take it away. But Jesus is secure. You know, treasure is not always secure. It can be stolen. It can be taken. Anyone had a scam get you where they got your bank account number and they stole money? That's unsettling, right? So they don't have to even come into your house anymore. They can just get your info and whoop, like stuff's gone. So if you and I are relying on money for significance, for security, for safety, all these other things, that it's a poor thing to rely on for that because it can go away like that. Disappear. I love how Julie's testimony, like, God is the best security, right? He's got things under control. You know, he's going to take care of us if we will trust him, actually. It's amazing how much time we spend trying to secure our treasure. We buy locks, we put things in safe deposit boxes, we trust banks, all these things. But the ultimate security for your and my treasure, according to Jesus, is to have it in an entirely different place. When it is in heaven, it cannot be stolen. It is secure. So the big question for us is, how am I investing my time, my resources, and my money in a way that is secure? Am I investing it in things that will last forever? Am I putting it in heaven? I love how Romans 8, 38, 39 puts it. If you want to turn there, if you got your Bible, turn to Romans 8, 38 to 39. There was a reason to bring it this morning. You did it. Good job. All right. Romans 8. You may know this. You go, oh, I know what you're talking about, Eric. I know that verse. Maybe it's on a coffee mug. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that love of God through Christ Jesus is a treasure that cannot be touched. Maybe you had a bad week this week. Well, that still doesn't affect your love for God and his love for you through Jesus Christ. That is secure, no matter what happened this week. When we have made Jesus Christ our treasure, he is secure. His love for you is secure. Nothing in this world can take that away or separate you from that. So think about those things that you make your treasure that can be taken away. We mentioned some of them. Sometimes it's family. Family, our treasure. Family's important, but it can be taken away. Good things can be taken away. As you're going to see at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you will build your house on what I have taught you, it's a rock. Not if the wind and rain come, but when they come, your house will stand. If you built your house on other stuff, on family, on money, on your job, on your health, all of these things can be taken away, but Jesus' love for you cannot. So brothers and sisters, let's build our house on these solid things we're learning about, how God's kingdom runs in the Sermon on the Mount. So finally, we've looked at Jesus as permanent and secure. Finally, make Jesus your treasure because he's real treasure. Have you ever had fool's gold? Anyone ever got fool's gold? It looks like the real thing, doesn't it? But it's not. What the world says matters, money, sex, power, all these things, they're not real treasure. They're not real treasure. So if you're investing your life to get those things, thinking, if only I have X, Y, or Z, I will be happy, you'll find eventually that it's not real treasure. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your what will be? Heart will be also. So if you're not sure, if you're thinking, well, the right answer is Jesus, but where is your heart? Because where your heart is points to what your treasure is. And we said this earlier, you know, we might might think the things of the world give us security, significance, peace, joy, happiness, etc. But the Bible says that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So what do I mean? Only Jesus will bring you all those things you most want in life. Only a relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be real treasure. It's not the things he gives, but himself. He is the treasure. Remember that song, Heart of Worship, a while back? He's talking about, I'm worshiping the things you give, and I realize the heart of worship is you. It's you. It's not just the toys you give or the things you give. It's you. You are the treasure, God. So as I said earlier, where do you spend your time, your money, your resources, your passion? Where that goes shows where your heart is. If you were to do an inventory of your life, what would it say your treasure is? It's a good question for us to think about. Is it yourself? You're the treasure? Is it your family? Is it your job? Various things we can make our treasure. But where is your passion truly at? That's a good question for us to ask. And you might say, oh, I'm so convicted. You're not my treasure, God. Well, go back to the Beatitudes, right? We've been saying, do this every time. Poor in spirit. God, I don't measure up. I don't make you my treasure. I'm poor in spirit. Help me to make you my treasure. Mourn that. Be humble and meek. Then hunger and thirst after what he says is right. Go through the Beatitudes with any of these things where you fall short. Don't let it make you despair. Don't make it make you want to give up. But recognize your need and come to the Father and say, I know I should make you my treasure, but you're not my treasure. Help me to make you your treasure. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. So let's make Jesus our treasure because he's permanent, he's secure, and he's real treasure. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. In the Sermon on the Mount, you say many hard things, but there are things we need to hear. This is how your kingdom works. You're unpacking how your kingdom works here in this Sermon on the Mount. And you're saying, my kingdom's treasure is not here, it's in heaven. Therefore, invest in that. Invest what will last. So Lord, help us to do a self-evaluation with your Holy Spirit working with us. In any ways, we are just pouring our life into things that are going to burn. Help us to pour it into that which will last forever. Give us your heart. Treasure in the right place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to Circle Church. It's a great chance to process some of these things. I encourage you, if you haven't been participating in that, you're missing out. Be part of Circle Church. Don't just stand around chatting here. Go to Circle Church. Okay? Your pastor's telling you, go to Circle Church. And process this. So we're going to stand up. We're going to raise our hands now as a benediction. This is a blessing. Us. Go forth today determined to make Jesus your treasure. Let's do that by backing it with our money, our time, our resources, our passion. Let's remember that he is permanent and invest in permanent things that he loves. Let's remember that he is secure and put our treasure where nothing can touch it. Let's remember that he is real treasure and not fall for the lies of the world as to what treasure should be. Go in peace.